to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 15th of September, and I'm recording that from London, and that is 10:30 p.m. Greenwich Mean, no, British Summer Time still. Okay, so what's going on here today? Well, a little bit of nervousness still around in these stock markets. Now, in Asia Pacific, that does not apply to Japan, which has been benefiting from the weaker Japanese yen that we've been seeing, although that has not continued today. It's not lower, but it is still trading at 107.18 against the generally firm U.S. dollar. Now, elsewhere in the Asia-Pacific region, mostly to the downside, the Hang Seng Index down nearly a point, down nearly 1%. The Shanghai Composite, however, was up a little bit, a third of a point. So that stayed remarkably firm here overall. And I do think that really is quite an exciting story. I also think Japan is quite an exciting story. But Taiwan, South Korea, Australia down over just over 1%. These are all lower. The Sensex index, that's India, down 0.9%. So that's also pulling back in here. They're pretty well all down here. The only one that's not that I'm looking at is Indonesia, but it's only up the most minimal fraction. Okay, in the European stock markets, again, a nervous tone here generally. Mostly small declines, although the Italian stock market is down just over 1%. Going against the overall general trend, tiny gain in Germany, 0.3% in Sweden, and Switzerland. Well, Switzerland's virtually unchanged here overall, and of course not in the EU. Best gain on the day looks like Brazil. Now, what caused that? Well, it has had a sharp reaction over the last week and a bit, and part of that was because the Prime Minister, is it? I think Rousseff had improved in the polls, so people were saying that she might actually win, and that triggered a very sharp downward reaction. But today, the other female candidate, Silva, apparently has picked up and is not that far off far behind in the polls, and sentiment was apparently in Brazil was saying that she could pull off the victory. Now, this is an important election because Rousseff is an out-and-out left winger, and Silva, well, she's more of a naturalist, but she's talking about letting markets sort out their own levels. In other words, she's not going to be interfering with stocks the way the Rousseff government has actually done. So that that election will be hugely important. A Silva win, and I think you'd get a further recovery. Rousseff wins, and you'd unwind the recovery that we've seen in all probability. Okay, Mexico up a little bit, but Canada down 0.3%. Now, the NASDAQ 100 was down over 1% in here. No, beg your pardon, that's the NASDAQ Composite Index, down over 1% in here today. And the S&P 500 also down a tiny fraction, while the Dow closed upwards with just a quarter of a percentage point now here. So, how could what's to explain all that? Well, Thursday is the big day, because you have not only Scotland's referendum on whether they're going to stay in the United Kingdom or go out and go independent, and that's a nail biter, unfortunately. And you also have the Alibaba float on Wall Street. Now, there's a little bit of a great sucking sound going on here, because if you look at what's happening on the Russell 2000 stock market index and also the NASDAQ 100, you've got a considerable percentage, still a majority overall, but a lot of stocks have been weak, and smaller tech companies, for instance, a number of them are actually weak. So market breadth overall is deteriorating in here, and that is a concern. Now, one of the reasons for the deterioration that we're seeing in market breadth in the NASDAQ 100, NASDAQ Composite, which has been such an outstanding performer overall, whereas the Russell 2000 just been ranging sideways all year. But the NASDAQ Composite has a lot of tech companies in it, a lot of those, some big tech companies, a lot of smaller tech companies, and investors in some of those shares are lightening up. In other words, they're freeing up cash so that they can actually participate in the Alibaba run. So it's a little bit like watching the tide before a tsunami, because suddenly it's flowing out and people aren't quite sure why. And it comes rushing in this time, to stay with the analogy. It'll be piles and piles of Alibaba share coming onto the market. Now, is that a factor that coincides with some market highs? You bet it is. You get the most floats and the biggest floats usually when stock markets are expensive and perhaps closer to the end of their run. So people are making hay while the sun shines. I'm getting all sorts of metaphors in here, mixing them around. You're getting a lot of activity here, and a certain degree of nervousness. I mentioned the breadth deterioration that we're actually seeing, and that's a bit of a concern here. But the bottom line here for NASDAQ and Wall Street generally is that for a long time, companies have been reducing supply in the market through share buybacks and the occasional takeover, whereas now supply is starting to increase again, and it might just tip the balance in favor of the bears. That Russell 2000 index is right smack in the middle of its range for the year. And we've seen rollovers, and today a downward dynamic on that 1.07% decline for the NASDAQ Composite. And the S&P 500 has also lost upside momentum and eased back from its high a bit. How's the Dow holding up? Well, autonomies for the most part. There are also plenty of autonomies in the S&P 500, which is why that is held up somewhat better as well. Okay, what about those long-dated government bonds? Will they ease a little bit? No, those yields had been pushing higher, and I think that the U.S. 10-year is back to 1.58 and change. Now, elsewhere, the dollar, which I mentioned earlier, is being generally steady, is barely changed on the dollar index. Sterling is a little lower. I'm just seeing if it had changed it. Yeah, well, it's recovered most of the decline that we had seen, or has it? Has it? Let me get that. No, I beg your pardon. Sterling's a little easier, not a lot, down a fraction. It's currently trading at 1.6232. I'll be concerned if that weakens over the next couple of days, because that would suggest that we'll get a yes vote on Scotland going for independence. I think that would be an alarming result, and I certainly think, well, obviously it would weaken the United Kingdom. I'm not happy about that at all, and I think also Scotland would be not in quite so bonny a position as Alex Salmond has been predicting. This election, as I've said before, is good for the Scottish National Party, but I don't think it's good for Scotland. And what you would have would be two left-wing. You'd have a leftish, definitely, decidedly leftist socialist Scottish National Party vying for power with the left-wing rump of the Labour Party in the UK. So there's no Conservative government to step in and sort things out and get the books balanced once again after some of the excessive spending that has occurred. I don't think that's a good recipe, but it's in the hands of the gods or the children, really. For the first time ever in a Scottish election, you've got 16 and 17-year-olds voting. They certainly can't drink or drive a car or stay out late. But they get to decide the future of the United Kingdom. Okay, well, I'll stop bleeding on about that and say anything else of interest here. The CCI, that's that cumulative commodity index, it's third consecutive day below 500 here. That was both psychological and lateral support for a very long time. So these commodity markets do remain soft. That says that there's a little bit more weakness in the global economy than people would mostly like to see, although we can't say that. In turn, we can say that about the industrial commodities, although not the agricultural commodities. The agricultural commodities will reflect crop prospects overall. And that's pretty much it. But fireworks come Thursday and Friday. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.